Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You can control your actions and your decisions, but you cannot control the end result. You have no control about it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Because it's just not up to you. It's sometimes up to someone else's whim.
You can do everything possible to like put you in the right direction, to like give you the best odds at hitting that goal, but you don't get to choose if you actually get it.
Unless you have sex with Harvey Weinstein. Welcome back to the Shit They Do Not Tell You About podcast. And my name is Steve
Hello,
Green.
Hello, welcome to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
And today we have a very important topic. We are talking indeed about how do you know? We've been talking about a lot of things that brought me to this topic in the past couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
And I thought we would approach this topic from a different angle.
Okay. Well, I like this lead up. I'm anxiously anticipating.
Perfect. So,
I don't know what topics he prepares, by the way. If you're just tuning in, we prepare different topics and like one person will prepare and then we don't tell the other person what we're doing. So I have no idea what he's about to say.
So we're talking about which Spider-Man movie sucked the most.
Really? Are we really talking about that?
No, we're not. We're talking about how do you know that you did not give up on your dreams?
Oh, okay.
This is going to be an honest analysis.
Yeah, we've talked about this throughout the years.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and I always kind of had a different opinion than you, but you were very opinionated about it, so I didn't
Go ahead. What's your opinion?
Well, I mean, it's easier to say now because I feel like I was correct.
Before we do that.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's talk about like the whole thing, right? So it's like, what was the dream, right? So,
yes.
You know, I think we both moved to LA to get into film and television.
Yes.
No question.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah, 100%.
And it was something that I thought about since I was a little kid.
Yep.
And like, you know, I'd watch the Ghostbusters movie in Indianapolis, Indiana, sitting on the brown carpet. And I was like, hearing everybody laugh. And I was like, this is exactly what I want to do. Like, I want to do whatever they're doing and make people laugh.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought when I was watching all that. And like Friends.
There you go.
Yeah. I was always more into TV and you were always more into movies.
Yes. Well, that was what we did. I mean, I can't say we watched a lot of TV compared to movies.
Like, yeah, we definitely didn't watch movies. We always watched TV.
Yeah. And that's why I ended up smarter than you, I believe.
Yeah, you're so much...
Much more intelligent.
More intelligent.
Yes, there you go.
You're intelligenter than me.
I agree. So, so when it was time, right, I remember, you know, obviously throughout high school and stuff, I'm doing plays, I'm doing all that kind of stuff. And I really enjoyed it. I think I enjoyed doing plays because I like performing. Like, I love
you
performing.
You like the live energy of the people.
Love it.
Yes.
Right? I don't remember, like, loving memorizing tons of dialogue. I never enjoyed that part of it. But I liked making a character up that could make people have a good time, right?
I could see that about you.
So that was fun. I enjoyed that very much. And actually, believe it or not, during my improv years, well, then you know, I get into improv around the same time around high school. And then during my improv years, I would do a lot of voices. I would do a lot of different characters and stuff. It's not really what I ended up doing on the internet, but like that was like my shit. Like, you know, whatever gets the audience there is what you try to do, right? But then, I'm doing improv and, you know, I really fall in love with improv.
Like, yeah.
Big time. And I know that because... Like, you can ask my brothers, like, growing up, I kind of disappeared because I just kept on going, hitting the improv circuit, like, you know, four nights a week, five nights a week even, and just hanging out with all those guys, like, performing with those guys. Like, we had a little troupe called San Diego Theater Sports, and we would, like, perform, you know, Friday, Saturday, and sometimes on Sundays, and then we would do practice every week, like, maybe two times a week even sometimes, so just a lot of training for years.
Yeah.
And that's how I know I loved it more than I ever even thought about acting. But I was always like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be an actor.
Yeah, I think that because I was similar with stand-up. So I fell in love with stand-up. And I was doing it like four or five nights a week and just loved this. I loved the scene. I loved working on my set. I loved, you know, when I did a little bit of improv or crowd work and it worked, and like trying to incorporate some of those bits, like if there were tags on different bits, and I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
But what I saw with acting was it was a way to perform and make more money. Like I saw it weirdly, even though it's like you have just as much a shot as doing that as a stand-up as you do as an actor. Like it's like your chances are very slim. Like the risk is still large. I just saw acting as being more of a sustainable, solidified.
It's like the
like
only
a
job,
career.
It's the only real job, is what it seems like.
Yeah, it's like I love performing. What can I do as a performer that's sustainable? Oh, acting. And I mean, acting's still performing. So
exactly.
Yeah, I got into that.
But there is no other, because like, you know, stand-ups are kind of carnies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you're touring. You're mostly, if you're making a decent living doing stand-up, you're mostly on tour.
Of course.
You don't have a home, really. You're like in hotel rooms all the time.
You live on the road.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And, you know, I did some stand-up, but I never fell in love with stand-up where I'm like, I'm going to hit this every fucking night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just never happened for me where I'm like, yeah, I absolutely like am obsessed with this shit.
Yeah, because you are very much more like improv, which is like there's no good or bad. It's like a different personality type.
Yeah.
Where like I like the polishing of things and like continuing to polish and polish and polish the same thing until it's nice and shiny, and then you perform it for a bigger audience.
Yeah, and things become stale quickly for me.
Yes,
so
exactly.
So I need the new.
I'm like, all the new will be in the crowd work.
Yeah, and even I remember, dude, in my mid-20s, too, I remember, you know how you just get where you're, like, all cocky and shit?
Yeah.
You're in your mid-20s, and you're like, I fucking rock.
Yeah, I am fucking... I actually think I was the most depressed and insecure in my 20s, but...
Well...
Yeah.
I just remember, you know, I had breakthroughs...
Yeah.
...in the improv scene where, like, you know, because early on, I got pretty crushed by my teacher, who was actually doing me a huge favor.
Uh-huh.
Like, showing me why I wasn't good yet.
Yeah.
And telling me why I wasn't good yet, and like, you know, teaching me about not being a me-proviser and all that kind of stuff, right? So I had a couple breakthroughs though, and once I pushed through those, I was like, oh dude, I got this, I know what this is. And I remembered we had a UCB instructor, Upper Assistance Brigade in LA, very popular comedy, you know, school and like performing place, but back then it was so new, it had just opened. And we had Daniel Schneider come down and do like a road class for us. Like so she was showing us long form improv stuff and Harold stuff. And during it, I just remember like immediately picking up what she was teaching and like using it to kill the room. And like, and I was killing like a room of other comedians.
Yeah, which is
so
much
that feels
harder.
Incredible.
Yeah, definitely.
And then once I was like, oh yeah, I got to do this. I got to do this UCB shit, right?
Yeah.
So then I moved to LA. But see, you noticed something happening, right? Like,
yeah.
Did I move to LA and take acting school? No.
Yeah.
I did do an acting class like a couple times, right? But mm-hmm. I wasn't like, got to get back to it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like, whereas with improv, I was like, oh, I'm getting so close. I had breakthroughs. I'm seeing progress. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm building something.
Yeah.
I'm building something, right? Got to get on our Harold team. All this kind of shit.
Yeah, you were excited.
Excited as fuck. Mm-hmm. Couldn't wait to do it. Couldn't tear me away from it.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, I never attacked. If you're dreaming about being an actor since you're a kid, why aren't you attacking acting training?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why aren't you like, you know me? I mean, you've known me for how long? When have I been like, I got to get into acting classes?
No, never. In fact, I remember anytime you had an acting opportunity come up, you were hella nervous and scared about it.
It was awful.
You were like terrified about it.
I was. And so that was it. But this is not something you realize in the moment.
Right.
You don't just pick this up.
No, because, well, you are the stories that you tell yourself, right? So if you were a kid and you were like, oh, these people are being funny in a movie. The way I can be funny is only in a movie.
That's it.
And then it stayed in your brain somehow where it's like your picture of success of being funny and making people laugh is now only in this box of being in the movies.
Yeah. And I didn't even, you know, because now I'm older, I realize all that stuff
right.
much easier. It's so clear.
Yeah.
It's so clear. And in fact, I also see like what happens to some comedians in movies. Some comedians, they translate easy style, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can like a... You know, I want to say
Robin Williams,
like even Sandler and obviously Kevin James, like they've had a lot of success, like just going from doing, I mean, Sandler didn't really do stand-up as much, but Kevin James, you know, I know a lot of people make fun of his career and stuff, but...
Do they? King of Queens is my fucking favorite show.
Paul Blart, right?
Oh, right.
But point is that, you know, when you plug him in to like he's been in a bunch of side characters in a bunch of movies.
Yeah.
When you plug him in, he doesn't seem like he's acting.
He's good at it. That's why I love King of Queens and everyone like comedians in the comedy world. Like, it's like, you don't like multi-cam comedy because it's like, it's so hack and it's so over the top acting.
Yeah, yeah.
But I swear King of Queens, they're so good. Like, even their improv is, they sell it. And it's, and then you got Jerry Stiller in there and Leah Remini, and everyone just meshes so
Jerry Stiller's the
funniest guy ever. Chemistry is just so good in that show. And I don't know. I think it's so underrated. Nobody talks about King of Queens, but whatever. I have a chip on my shoulder because I freaking love King of Queens and nobody supports me.
Obviously, Eddie Murphy, hugely successful in stand-up, then did movies it was nothing, right?
Yeah.
One of the funniest people ever. So, like, but then, you know, Carlin is one of my favorite comedians ever, if not my favorite comedian ever.
Mm-hmm.
And when you watch him in movies, he's like wooden as fuck. Yeah. He can't be Carlin. You know what I'm saying? Like, when he's in Bill and Ted, he's sort of just like...
I kind of felt that way about Marc Maron.
Mm. 100%.
Yeah. 100%. Like, he was a comedian. He had a good podcast, but then, like, I don't know. Like,
put him in the shows
Yeah,
and stuff,
I tried watching him. Sorry, Marc Maron. I don't know. I didn't mean to call him out. So far, we've only been talking about positive. Name. Sorry.
point. But no, it doesn't always work for people.
Yeah,
it just doesn't. It just doesn't.
I think he's gotten better at acting. Mark, you've been working on it. You've been coaching. I know you have.
Nice way to clean it up.
Thank you.
But and then, you know, because I did a couple acting classes. When I was in those acting classes, even, it's not like I was like, yes. The whole time I had anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time, like, especially movement classes,
mm-hmm.
made me fucking cringe.
Yeah.
I was like, LA is a bunch of airy fairy assholes.
I'm not okay, to be fair, you went to NYFA, and that's not exactly.
New York Film Academy. Yeah.
It's not the best, like,
yeah, I know.
Acting coaches in the world.
It's like tourists. For sure. But point is that I just remember being in there and not loving it.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't wait to get home because it was the first time I lived on my own. Couldn't wait to just be by myself more than with actor people, because actor people, I mean, I liked a couple of them, but actor people are just fucking weird.
Yeah, that's why I can't believe you got into theater in high school, because that's what turned me off of theater, was the people in theater.
Well, I swear, the people I knew in theater were not like the people, I mean, there was a couple of them, like the people who are like super head up their own ass, but most people
just
in my high school
were cool. They're all singing, they're all musical people. I'm just like, it's not my jam.
We weren't the musical tribe.
Yeah. See, I got the wrong crowd. I was like, I don't sing, and I like comedies, and I like TV. Like, I liked real acting. Like, that's why I liked on camera acting more than theater. My theater experience was limited to high school, but because like I just felt it was more real. Like, you're down here because the camera picks up everything.
Yes.
Picks up your thoughts, picks up everything in your eyes. So you just have to actually live it rather than perform it and like project it, what you're trying to do. And I just like that so much better.
Yeah, I also think that, you know, because obviously, you know, my next move is I'm in LA and I'm doing improv.
Mm-hmm.
And I you know, it's funny, it was like 15 years ago. Because I remember like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's
remember when old people used to tell us that? Like, old people in their 30s, they were like, it's like a blink of the eye. And I was like, you were never young. Shut up.
Yeah. But like, I remember moving into Koreatown.
Yeah.
Having people from improv, because we did improv classes, but then we also, people in our class, we all like teamed up together and we would have coaches come to our house. So I remember having coaches come to my like Koreatown apartment, and like, we'd all pay them. We were all very poor.
Yeah.
We'd have to go to the ATM first. But I just remember it all like it was yesterday. But I wasn't doing that with acting. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it was just like this kind of thing. I like to say I'm a self-aware person, but I can't even believe I didn't realize that this was happening to me. Like, where I was clearly in love with something else, mm-hmm. while I kept on saying, oh, yeah, well, my plan is to be an actor. It's like weird.
Yeah. Yeah. That is interesting.
Right?
Yeah. You got defensive about it if you were called out on it. Because I remember a couple times I was like, you're not really an actor. I was like,
I was like, what do you mean?
You're like you're a comedian and you're an improviser and you're really good like at performing and in sketches. But like, I don't see you as an actor because you weren't studying. You weren't coaching.
Fuck,
you weren't.
No.
You didn't even have a headshot or resume.
No.
Like, it wasn't proper. Like, you'd go print it out.
Headshots,
you'd print them out at CVS.
Exactly.
Like, it wasn't like you weren't professional about it.
No.
You weren't in the union. I'm like, you can act, but you're not an actor.
I don't even think I could act, but the point is that I didn't really know what acting was.
Yeah.
Like, not really. Like, because for me, coming up in theater acting, you got to act to the back of the room, right? So you're like, you know how theater actors are.
That's like what I just said. Like, you're projecting.
Exactly.
You're like mugging.
Exactly.
Because, yeah, the last person in the last row has to see your facial expression.
Yeah, and that was my training. So all my training was that. And so then, you know, when you get on
camera, yeah,
you know, you're going to be Jim Carrey pretty quick.
Yeah.
If you don't, like, pull it in.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, I'm in LA, and I just sort of keep on doing comedy stuff. And then I end up, you know, getting into the YouTube circuit, like where I met you. And the irony is, well, there was a couple things that happened, right? So I first started doing the tubes. And when I would be in everyone else's videos because I didn't have a channel yet, right? So when I'm in other people's videos, I'm doing their style. And also, I don't really know how to act, I think. I would just, like, you know, do whatever the fuck. I don't know. But I didn't take it like this is a real situation. I'm this person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would just, like,
try to... You
didn't
have a moment before. You didn't have your objective. You didn't have...
None of it.
You didn't...
The stuff that I know now through you, I didn't know then. And so I was just, like, trying to get to the joke.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which is fine for YouTube.
Yeah.
It's totally fine.
Totally.
But when you're doing this, you don't realize that it's not acting.
Right.
So then... You know, I remember I would always see this same comment, and it was always like, oh, okay, because I started doing my YouTube channel eventually, right? And I would just do, like, I don't even remember. Like, when I first started it on YouTube, it was just, like, little skits.
Mm-hmm.
Like, almost like how TikToks are now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just little quick little bits that I did.
Yeah.
And so, it'd be like, a two-minute video, like, a bit. And then I remember it would... I would see a comment constantly that kind of built up, and it was like, how come Steve Green isn't funny in his stuff? He's only funny in other people's stuff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, I haven't found my
voice,
rhythm, my voice. Yeah. Cause like, I'm like, okay, so how come in improv, like, I'm pretty respected in the group, everyone likes me, but then I go on the tubes and unless I'm in other people's stuff, you know, people are like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, why is that? So I didn't, like, find my thing yet. And I kept on having to do a bunch of different things before I found, like, my troll voice that I ended up, like, blowing me up and stuff.
Yeah, which is improv man on the street.
That's
stuff.
It.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, but you know, and even there, right? So I'm doing, finally find my troll format. It actually takes about a year for that to really explode.
A year of consistency.
Consistency, yeah. Just constantly plugging away at it. Like, I would get like 8,000 to 15,000 views a video or something like that.
And that was because you had a lot of people pushing to you too. Like,
yeah, I did.
You were in a network.
Yeah, but I didn't, they weren't there for me yet. They were like maybe checking out my stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and but I had like a good core group of people, like a couple hundred people that would be consistently in my comments every time. And
no, I just meant like you were already connected with Maker Studios, who had like people that were like, you were in people's things that were pushing to you. I'm talking, if someone wants to start a YouTube channel right now, like 8,000 sounds like a lot of views to get right away first year, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you had a little bit of a leg up just to people that are wondering.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's all about
like why you're bummed out about 8,000 views.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, I was looking around me and everyone else was like crushing views.
Yeah.
So, of course, I was like a fledgling little tadpole. And so, you know, but once I had my kind of moment, like, it just started going nuts and I would get millions of views a video. Right. And then all of a sudden opportunities start to come in traditional acting stuff. And so then, you know, it's almost like one door opens another, but you know, I believe 1000% preparation or luck is when preparation meets opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So I get these opportunities, but I don't think that I was excited about them because I wasn't ready for them.
Mm.
Like, I was very nervous about it. Very like, I don't know, like, yeah. I think the more that I did acting stuff, the more I realized I don't know how to act.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, years later, I'm helping Joe and Bart do their Danger Boys thing. And I'm like, yo, you boys got to take an acting class. And they're like, what are you talking about? We've been fucking acting on YouTube forever. And I'm like, exactly. That's why you got to take an acting class.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what the fuck I was talking about until they got in the room. And I remember seeing them in the room with the coach, who's this great lady who you recommended.
Mm-hmm.
And
shout out to Leslie Kahn.
She's fantastic. Yeah. But she really shows you pretty quick what you don't know.
Yep.
And once I saw their brains like stop and start and stop and start, because you really, you know, I think when you're a YouTube actor, you just attack lines, right?
Yeah.
Like you just attack lines hard. But I don't think that that's what acting is. Like acting is you got to listen to what they're saying, take it in, and then react, right?
So yeah.
Like acting is reacting is like the slogan, right? But
yeah,
it really is.
Oh, I started as an actor, like trained like with like some of the top coaches in LA, like that have celebrity clients, like just like the top of the top. Cause I was like, I'm going to go and I'm going to like, instead of going to college, which I that was how I justified dropping out of college, was like, I'm going to hit it full force, like the best of the best of the best. I don't care how much money it costs. I'm going to work three jobs to like pay for it. And I spent a lot of my money, like I didn't have any extra income except that went to coaches. And then I got on YouTube with like Totally Sketch and all the YouTuber people, and the hardest thing was taking notes from, like, you know, when I'm in someone's video and they're a YouTuber and they were giving me notes on acting.
Yeah, it's the best.
To like go big and cartoony and stuff. Yep. It was the fucking hardest thing, but it works on YouTube.
It works.
They weren't wrong.
Yeah, they weren't wrong.
But it was just against everything I've ever trained.
Yeah.
And I was like, I hate this.
Yeah. It's funny, but I'm, you know, that, so that's just what I mean. Like, seeing them learn is the same way that I learned, but it was very slowly.
Yeah.
Whereas I saw them learn very quickly what they don't know about acting. And I had to learn that like the hard way through many.
That's the power of having a coach.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It really is. So, but yeah, you know, I'm all of a sudden I'm on like these movie sets and stuff, and people, they're just throwing roles at you because they don't care. They just want you to social media.
Yeah.
Pump, 'cause
you have the numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember I was in The Wedding Ringer, and they, you know, props to them. They're very nice, but that's what they wanted me in there for. I know that. Like, I'm not stupid.
They had a bunch of, like, YouTuber cameos in there.
Yeah. So, and it was cool. I got to meet old Kev, you know, my buddy Kevin Hart. So that was fun. I call him old Kev. And,
do you like being called old?
No, old Kev. Like, old Kev.
Oh, good old Kev.
Yeah. So I got to meet him. And Josh Gad was very nice as well.
He seems like a nice person.
Yeah. I call him Joshy Boy.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Does he like that?
He didn't respond.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I think he was too busy. But
he probably thought you were an extra.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But I wasn't.
No, you were featured.
I was featured extra. Thank you. So, you know, I'm on set. And, you know, they ended up cutting my, like, they cut all the YouTuber cameos that I know of. I don't think any YouTubers was in there who got to talk.
I saw with Glozell, and I think iJustine had, like, some talking.
Did they talk?
I think some talking roles.
Okay.
They just like one line.
Yeah, one line. Yeah. So we all got to, I think, film that. And I think they mostly just cut all that shit. for all of us, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was like that, though. So, you know, you go to the premiere and you're like, oh, this is cool. And then you show up. And then, like, you're there for, like, you know, it's like, if you turn to your left and go, like, hey, that's me, like, I'm already gone.
But you were in the trailer.
Yeah, I was in the trailer.
So a lot of people, like, saw that.
Yeah, that's
true. And
were
like, what the fuck? Your husband is in the trailer?
Yeah, yeah. So that was cool. But, you know, that experience was super cool too. No hatred to any of that. But I just, through it, realizing being on set, right? Mm-hmm. The time it takes. Like the, you know, even like, you know, if you want to do something in the moment, you can, but it might not ever make it to screen.
Yeah.
It might just get cut for whatever the fuck reason.
Yeah.
So like, it's not as creative as what I was used to because I was on the tubes. Mm-hmm. And on the tubes, like, if you throw down a line, like if I was in a Timmy D video and I'm like improvising, but like, this is great. Whereas like in the movies, they're like, we don't have time for this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's mm-hmm. just a different thing.
Yeah.
And you know, unless you're the fucking front and center star, like it's just not, that's not going to happen.
No.
You can't have as much fun at all, which I didn't really know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I also did this show on YouTube called Puppet Cop that I really, you know, it was like my baby in a lot of ways. Like I was super into the idea of it, like where it was about a show about a buddy cop show about a guy who's partnered up with a puppet and he has no idea that he's a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
So he just thinks he's just some guy. But then the puppet has a huge secret, which is that he's a puppet.
Yes.
And so I always loved that idea, and getting to do it was super, a super big kick.
Yeah.
But I think I'm probably the worst thing about that show. Because you know, early on, I was advised to do like YouTube overacting.
Yeah.
And I think it's just horrible.
I think I might have said that in the beginning of our relationship, and you didn't like it.
Well, it was just true. I mean, yeah. It just, of course, I didn't like
but
it.
But then you, but it's then not
like
you were like,
you smile when you hear something like that.
I know. Well, because you were so like, what do you think?
Really,
what'd you think? What'd you think? What'd you think?
I was excited about
and
it.
And I was like, it's a really good concept.
Yeah.
I really liked the, there were really good lines in there. Like, and, but then, yeah, I just, I'm always going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But it, but I didn't think that it took away from how funny you were. Like that you, like, I didn't see you as less funny because of that show. I just thought the acting was over the top. That's all.
It was wildly over the top. And honestly, I started day one doing it normally.
Yeah.
But I was advised to do it the other way by people who I'm like, you know, they know more than I do. But I think it wasn't, I don't think it was good advice.
Mm-hmm.
I regret it. I wish I didn't do that.
It was a learning experience.
But it was a learning experience. Yeah. But it's just another reason why I'm like, oh, but, you know, it's just not, that's not something that I'm like, fuck yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I want to do that again or anything like that. Like,
yeah.
It's very different where I'm like, I had so much more fun on the street. So much more fun. I have so much more fun doing JK stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I like being in the moment with people and having real moments with people, whether I influence the scenario of it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like to see what people are going to do sometimes if you throw something weird at them. That's my favorite thing.
Yeah, I'm so uncomfortable with that.
See, that shit gets me excited. It makes my heart flutter in the right way.
I like that stuff within a structure. And that's why I think I like stand-up better than improv. Because even in a scene, per se, like, you know, you have lines and you're like, you were saying, like, if you're a newbie, never had coaching, never acted, really, you're so focused on the lines and getting the lines right. But it's not about the lines, it's about the intentions behind the lines. It's about like the under the surface stuff. And I enjoy doing takes with different flavors, and then the person doesn't know, like, you still have to be in the moment reacting to what the person's giving you, and so you're still giving them something new, and it becomes a collaborative process, and where you create something better than anyone could have thought of on their own. And I love that. I loved how, like, every take you could just do something different, or someone would have an idea, like, try it this way this time, and then we'd play with it. And I don't know, I like that. I like being on set. I like sets.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, you just sort of realize that, you know, it's like, where I got to is much different than where I ever thought I would have gotten to.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I don't think that I ever knew in the moment that that was where I was headed.
Sure.
So we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we will talk more about, did we give up on our dreams or not?
All right. Nice. Nice pauses, some pregnant pauses in
Thank
there,
you.
And just it really build the...
Keeps you on the edge of your seat.
Yeah, cliffhangers.
We'll be right back.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us. Like,
listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show, because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout-outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings, so... Huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show. Okay, welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back. I hope you are still at the edge of your seat.
Yes.
But let's go back a little bit so that you don't fall off the chair.
I need room from all my pregnant pauses coming up.
Yeah, and they are they're like 9 months pregnant.
Yeah, they're really about
to pop.
They're
about to burst.
So.
Make little baby pauses. Go ahead, sorry.
Talking about, did we, you know, give up on our dreams?
Yes.
How do you feel about this topic, Nikki?
Well, I remember you going pretty hard on people who changed paths and said that they didn't give up on their dreams. I remember having a conversation with you before about that. Yeah. Where you're like, you know, people are always like, no, that was not my dream anymore or whatever.
I do remember thinking that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just like how you thought that people couldn't understand what their pets were thinking or saying, you know.
But you know me. I mean,
some pretty hard opinions. But
half of that is bits.
Yeah. I know.
Working out bits.
And you like, you have, and it's good to have a really strong perspective as an improviser.
Exactly.
It's funnier if you go hard on, like,
you're
one way.
Digging in on positions, yeah.
Anyway, I, much like you, you know, really did some deep diving into, I mean, especially when the pandemic hit, of what I actually value and like what I actually consider a dream life. Because like I was saying before, when you decide your picture of success when you're so young, like as a kid, I wanted to be an actor on a TV show. And I carried through with that dream all the way up through 30, you know, and I feel like I went pretty far. You know, I doubled down on everything I could possibly do to achieve that. I went to so many auditions. I'm in SAG-AFTRA. I've booked a few TV shows, but just as a co-star. I've booked a few movie roles, like more leading roles, but independent movies. And so, you know, I experienced what I wanted to experience. And at the time when I chose that dream, the internet didn't really exist.
Yeah.
You know, so of course, the only outlet I saw people being able to perform in a way that sustainably makes a living was TV. And that you don't have to tour, you know, because I didn't like that part about stand up. I'm very much a homebody. Yeah. Yeah, I need a home base. I can't do the whole constant traveling. But and so it took me a while to realize that, okay, if you could go back in time, if I was a child right now, would I still have chosen wanting to be an actor on a TV show, or would I perhaps have wanted to be a YouTuber?
Yeah, because that didn't exist.
It didn't exist. Yeah. And honestly, in my head still right now today at 35 years old, because it wasn't around when I was a kid, it still isn't really real to me, even though that's what I've been doing for a living for the past 10 years. Like I've been a full-time YouTuber for 10 years and it doesn't feel like a real thing because we kind of like were there in the beginning of it, you know, and
nobody was even called YouTubers yet.
No, like was, or influencers yeah, or whatever weird. It is.
We're like the first gen or whatever.
It's even so weird to me now, like talking to people like, oh, so you're an influencer. And I'm like, ooh, I cringe at that word because I'm like, that sounds so stupid and fake.
You should cringe at that word.
Yeah, but it is really real. I was actually listening to a poker podcast today on my walk and the guy said that he claims influencer on his tax forms.
Oh, really?
And I was like, that is insane. And they had a whole discussion about how influencer is a legit career on a tax form now. And I was like, that is insane that this poker guy who's so serious about poker is just as serious about calling himself an influencer because he does have a huge YouTube following and a huge Instagram following. So I'm like, why am I so weird about it? Because for him, he just started a few years ago, so it was already a thing. But for me, it was like I was going hard on acting and I still kind of saw YouTube as this not real like career, or like even and not just YouTube, but internet personality, you know?
Yeah.
And then I took a deep dive and I was like, you know, I don't really, if I really like really am honest with myself, I don't really like 14 hour a day on set every day days. I miss home. I don't like how you always, you're stuck in a trailer during those times. I don't know. It's not that glamorous when you're on set. If you really like had that experience of being on a TV show or a movie, you're on set as an actor in a trailer for like hours and hours and hours. And
you're
you
not
have
even
to be,
acting for hours. You're just
no,
waiting
you're
for
just
hours.
Waiting for them to set up the lights and set up the it's because
lighting is
film
everything.
Film is a director's medium. Theater is an actor's medium. So no wonder you liked theater more than you liked film, because that was more of where you get to thrive as an actor. When it comes to film, it's all the director.
I've
so
heard TV like moves faster.
It does.
Yeah.
It's better. But it's you're still waiting, and you have to be emotionally there and like ready to go when they call,
right.
And so you can't like turn it off, even though it's actually a lot of emotional drainage, like to be in character for that long.
Jeez.
Or at least for me, it was. You know, I feel things really intensely, and so like if I'm stuck in a moment where I have to like, you know, be sad about like my dog dying or something, then I have to be in that moment all fucking day.
Right.
You know, and then sometimes I go home and I'm still in that moment, even though you're trained to like take it off. So yeah, what I do right now, currently doing podcasts, YouTube, whatever it is we do, is way more actually exciting and fulfilling to me than if I was on a TV show 14 hours a day. Maybe the end product I would enjoy.
Yeah,
a little bit more, but like the actual work involved is a little bit more grueling.
It is, man. It's from top to bottom. It's like a whole fucking thing. So,
and to be honest, I don't really care to be famous.
Same.
So even if the TV show's a hit, then now I'm, there's a responsibility to having a mass amount of people view your stuff and know who you are. And I don't particularly enjoy it.
That's why, dude, Denzel is my favorite actor, because every time I go watch a Denzel movie, Tom Cruise is like this too. I know it's going to be fucking dope because he just knows how to pick projects that suit him.
Yeah.
And like suit what he does so well. And I think those two guys, like Tom Cruise and Denzel Washington, they just pick shit that like they're very particular, I've heard.
Yeah.
And they're like, I trust them.
It's cool that they're allowed to do that.
When it comes to acting, it's not something that I ever got to see you do a lot because you're mostly just auditioning too.
Yeah. And so I was acting all the time because I was auditioning all the motherfucking time.
Yeah.
But it, yeah, the booking ratio is off and they could not book you for a variety of reasons, but you take all of it personally because it's like I did a bad job because otherwise I'd be booking more. But sometimes it has nothing the fuck to do with you. And I've been on the other side of that too, where I got cast in a TV show and then that scene got cut, and so the casting directors were just like, we're just going to put you in this other episode since you already were cast and we had to cut your role out. And but the thing is, you have to still come and audition even though you already have the role. So I went there and there was a bunch of people auditioning for this role. As soon as I get in the room, they're like, hey, you still have the role, we just have to do this protocol because it's
so
the protocol.
Funny.
And like, how many times have I been the person like anxiously rehearsing my lines in the fucking waiting line? I had to dress up, I had to, you know, get my shift covered, maybe from waitressing when I used to do that. And then like, you don't get the role again and
you
take it personally. Yeah, exactly. And you get a I always got a parking ticket.
Yeah,
and
everyone did.
There was a time where I had a manager that was really mean, and anytime I didn't book something, which is the majority of the time, he would lecture me for 2 hours. So I knew I had to like get lectured after. It became very like not fun.
Yes.
At all.
Everything associated with it was associated with not fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I feel like I kind of Pavlov's dog when I would get a audition notification, I kind of, my heart sank a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
The acting
part
was fun, but all the stuff around it was not that fun.
Yeah. And how do you feel about, you know, because this is what got me on this topic, right? We just had Richard in town, Richard Ryan's buddy for forever, right? And we all did Totally Sketch together.
Yeah.
And I was
Totally Sketch is a channel on YouTube 10 years ago. That was pretty big.
And I was thinking about all of us then versus all of us now.
Yeah.
And that's what got me thinking about this topic, is I'm like, oh man, if I could talk to that guy, I'd be like, no, you're not an actor, dude. And you're cool with it. Like, you didn't know about any of this shit. Like,
yeah.
I just thought, hell, I didn't even know that YouTube would take off back then. I just kept on doing it. Because when you're in the moment, you don't realize that you're in a movement or whatever the fuck. Or,
yeah.
Like you're part of what's disrupting. You don't know. You're just like, every day is just another day. And you're like, just trying to hang on, you know?
Yeah.
And just trying to grind it out. And like, you know, the amount of time that I spent working on other people's stuff and on my stuff, I didn't have time for anything else or to even think about where I was.
Yeah.
So.
You know, not to like put myself into my stereotype crystal lady role, but I used to do tarot card reading at the beginning of every year, and I didn't take them very seriously. It's just like, it's just a fun thing that I would do, just to see like, what does a psychic have to say about my year this year, like, and does any of it come true? And there was one psychic I used to see all the time, and it was really accurate. Like, she predicted you, she predicted a lot of things that did come true, and I even things I didn't want to hear. And I had asked her about career, and I like was really like, oh, I hope this is the year that I book a TV show that I did. Yeah. And she's like, hey, you know, you're going to be really successful, but not in the way that you want to be.
I remember her telling you that.
And I was devastated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even though she said you're going to be really successful, I just had this really specific picture of what that looked like. And the thought that it could not be that was like really
and that's
heartbreaking.
What it was. So you might listen and think that Nikki heard it from a tarot card lady and she goes, well, that's what's gonna happen in my life then. But it was really just facing down that was possible.
And no, she said this 10 years ago, and she said I see you being successful on a technology that doesn't really exist yet. Like, you're gonna be part of this like newer wave of something that it doesn't really exist yet as a career.
Yeah.
And she was 1000% correct.
Yeah. And that's, but yeah, you know, the inkling, the reason why you were sad about it,
yeah,
I remember, was because at the time, she just, even the idea that that would, that that's possible, that she wasn't going to get to do what she's always dreamed of doing, was devastating.
Yeah. And I didn't let that stop me. Cause like I said, I was like, I'm not taking a tarot card reading and being like, well, that's that. Exactly. Guess I'm not going to be an actor. I went fucking, I doubled down and did, I went full force. I was like, I'm not going to let this tarot reading come true. Like, I'm going to be an actor. That's the thing. It's the only way.
Same lady, I have to say, just before I bought into Ethereum, told me I was about to come into a fuckload of money. Like, just before, I'm talking like 3 months before.
Wow.
Because I went and saw her too, because you were already going to see her, and I was like, oh, fucking, who cares? Yeah, it's fun.
I was like, it's a fun thing I do. Let's do
and
it.
She's like, you're about to, she's like, wow, I'm getting like, I keep on getting like King of Cups, King of, or whatever the fuck. Yeah. And she's like, you're, she was like, really, she's like, this doesn't always happen to me. You are about to come into a lot of money, like really soon. And I was like, what the fuck ever, dude?
Yeah. And then it happened.
I was like, well, maybe I'll book something or something, right? Maybe because I was like still doing all that.
Yeah, because when you, your mind gets stuck on like, there's just one way that this can happen.
Yeah, I was like, well, I don't really get a lot of brand deals.
Money's going to come from work only. Yeah,
exactly. But that was the only way that I got money. The only way I saw big checks was through, you know, YouTube stuff.
But that's how your reality starts shifting.
Yes.
And it really is just like a deepening of possibility. And like when you're creating stuff, when you're creating your life that you actually want to live, that you actually thrive in, it's like, this deepening of possibility has to happen.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So yeah, when I look back now, and I think about all of us back then,
yeah,
and the conversation that I would have had with all of them, because even Richard, he wanted to be an actor.
Yeah.
Like Richard is one of the co-owners, one of the four owners, original owners of Black Rifle Coffee Company.
Uh-huh.
Everyone's heard of that now.
Yeah.
I remember when they first came out with it, I was like, what the fuck is Richard doing now? You know what I mean? Like, because he was always up to something. He was always very like enterprise-y with everything that he was doing, right?
Yeah, he was.
Very proud of the guy. But yeah, he was going all in on acting. He was like getting sides and like trying to, you know, do it and all that stuff. And we all did a movie together like with Mike, and we did Internet Famous, and he was in it with us. And it was just, you know, we all thought that we were on that trajectory and we wanted to get there. But then, you know, seeing what he's doing now and how happy he is and how much he's loving life. And
yeah. So I think that previous you was like, they can't be happy. They're convincing themselves they're happy for giving up on their dream. But yeah. I think it really is a switch that happens, because I am legit, hands down, the happiest I've ever been in my life right
same,
now.
Same. And it's wild to think that I got there.
Yeah, that you could get there without that picture of what you thought happiness had to look like happening. Yes. And I think that's what it is. And when you do Crypto Corner, you feel that tingle, right?
Oh,
that,
yeah, dude.
That
I
spark.
Can't wait to do it. Can't
when
wait.
I play poker, I feel that spark too. Yeah. And I was telling you in the beginning, I'm like, this is so weird, because I never would have gone like, I think I want to be a poker player. Like, never I would have thought that. I got into it last like February when we were house hunting, because I always played poker, and then we didn't get to play any games when we were here because it was full on pandemic mode, and I was bummed, and so I just started playing poker on my phone, and then I got into like, whoa, this is a really complex game actually, and I started getting into the strategies, and it was really stimulating. And I was like, you know what's so weird is that this feels like stand up when I first started stand up, like that same kind of the same feeling that I get of like learning a strategy, applying it, seeing if it lands on the table. And then when it does land, I'm like, holy shit, that's awesome. And I get really excited. And the adrenaline, you know, of it. Yeah.
That's why I also feel doing videos like with you, right? Doing our podcast and doing JK. I get that little tingle again.
A little spark
and just, you know, going to hang out with like-minded people, like who we kind of all see the world the same way.
Yeah.
And like a more of a sillier way. We don't take things too seriously and we can't wait to make fun of everything. Like that kind of thing, because it really helps us alleviate our own problems.
Right? Yeah.
Because like, you know, you never heard me joke more about somebody than when my grandfather passed away, because I didn't know how else to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kept on doing shtick about it. You know what I mean? Like that's just how I process things, right? So those guys do the same shit. So finding like minds and like getting to turn, when that camera comes on,
mm-hmm,
and I see the record button and I'm sitting with those guys, just I'm just excited because we're about to have fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just feels like that. It's just natural fun. Reminds me of my improv days where I'm in a troupe with people and same shit, same kind of jam.
It's so funny too, because I can't even really talk about it on this episode because it's so niche, but like at the poker tables, like I start feeling the table's energy, and I I start to I usually start joking and like making people laugh at the table, and it's a lot of poker jokes, but that only that people at the table would get. Yeah. And then like I'll do callbacks on things that happen, and it makes people laugh. And it's like I have a little. Like, it's like doing stand-up. It really is like doing stand-up, and it's fun. It's fulfilling. And I found that I actually win way more when I'm making people laugh, when it's lightening the not the audience, but the table.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird thing. It's like these soul tingles of like, this is where I'm supposed to be right now.
It alleviates
I'm supposed
from
to
the
be
seriousness.
Right now. And then, yeah. And then it's when I start winning, and because when I was really intense about it, I was just losing, and then I started like getting silly with it, and it was just fun. It was just pure fun, and I feel like it's. I feel like what we're doing now. I was actually analyzing similar things after. I mean, before Richard, but also after Richard came, of like why, and I think it's like you know the whole inner child thing of like what did she get denied. These past like decades of where you're supposed to be an adult and like you're trying to figure life out, and like what did I deny there? What does she want to do? And she just gets to play now, and it's really fucking fun.
Yeah.
And it's like the best. I wish that I never had a solid picture of success, because you're just, I feel so dumb thinking that it just had to be one way.
Yeah, me too. But that's the only way I learned.
Yeah.
And also, I think I'm pretty slow when it comes to realizing when I've like moved on from something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I really realize it because I'm very much stuck in like my goal.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, nah, that's my goal.
Yeah.
That's 100%. That's my goal though, right? That's my overarching goal. That's where I'm going. I don't know that I'm, you know, I'm not there yet, but I'm going there.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I like look around me and I'm like, no, wait, it was over. I needed to be over here.
Yeah.
It's just an interesting way of looking at things that I don't always know. But then when I get there, looking back, I'm like, okay, I see how I got there now.
I was actually going to do a whole topic on this, which will, but I'll touch on it, which is that I've realized that if you're just a happy person in life, like if your life is a little bit more balanced, like you have a social life that you enjoy and like you are getting to have some free time and you enjoy the work that you do, it's easier to like hit goals. Like it, like when you're not attached to the end results so strictly, like I used to just like, I need this to happen, or like, it's like my self-worth was invested in this goal.
Anything.
Exactly. So every time it didn't happen or I wasn't hitting it, I just got so depressed and so sad and like angry, and it was just like a bad time. Right. And then it manifests like other things to be angry about and sad about. But letting go of that, like needing a certain result to happen, allows those results to happen, which is so weird. It's so backwards.
Do you remember traveling through Europe with me and how miserable I was the whole time because I hadn't sold a fucking script yet?
Yeah.
And like, I just didn't think I deserved to be on vacation when I'm like, why am I on vacation? This makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
I haven't earned it. You know, like, that's what I mean. Like as soon as I got over that and just started to enjoy things, things started to click, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things started to sell, whatever the fuck started to happen. It is really a mindset thing.
It's like when we were about to get married, and I went on this like wedding diet workout program, which was like fucking crazy intense, because I was like, I'm gonna look the best possible
at my wedding.
Yeah, I was gaining weight, and I was getting so fucking mad because like I was trying the hardest, the most, the 110% hardest, and it was like having opposite results. And then come to find out years later that stress causes a lot of digestive issues that was causing me to bloat and gain weight. And it was just like the way once I started letting go and taking things off my plate and not doing crazy exercises, but just going on walks in the morning, I just, the weight fell off and I stopped being bloated all the time. And it was so weird.
It really did happen like that.
Yeah.
Too. Because I remember we, you know, you were talking to some people who like do personal training, and
they were, it was getting so mad because they're like, well, you have to be counting your macros, and you're not getting enough protein.
Caloric deficit.
Oh, it's because you're not eating enough meat. You're just,
I'm doing all this, motherfucker.
I've just studied religiously. Like when I need to hit a goal, like that's how we both are. Yeah. Like, we just, I'm just obsessed and yes. I'm studying it religiously. And so when it's not happening after I'm putting in all this work, and I think it's like a kind of a sense of entitlement. Like, if I'm putting in all this work, then I deserve the result that I'm after. Like, I deserve to have that. Why isn't it coming? I'm doing all of the work and there's no reciprocation. Yep. And what I've learned through playing poker is that you're just not entitled to it. You're just not entitled to the pot, no matter how much you've researched or it. Like, it just, you have to
there's variance in life.
Yeah, there's variance. And you can control your actions and your decisions, but you cannot control the end result. You have no control about it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Because it's just not up to you. It's sometimes up to someone else's whim.
You can do everything possible to like put you in the right direction, to like give you the best odds at hitting that goal, but you don't get to choose if you actually get it.
Unless you have sex with Harvey Weinstein.
I don't know if you actually, I think that's called selling your soul.
Got it.
Okay, yeah, so it's a transaction.
My bad.
It takes place. It's very expensive.
I've heard.
A soul is very valuable.
To some.
To some, yeah.
So that's all we got for you guys today.
All right.
Thank you for listening.
Wait, do you think you gave up on your dream?
No, hell no.
Okay, yeah.
Hell no.
What's your dream now? What's like your thing?
You know what it is?
Yeah.
It's sort of what I was talking to that guy about a couple years ago at a party, where he was like, I live in San Francisco. I have enough money that I make from working productions that on the weekends I can go to a bar and like have a good time with my friends. And like, you know, I have my car and like, I don't need anything else. Why does anyone else need anything else? And yeah. I'm like, okay, well, that's not what makes me happy, dude. That sounds like shit.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause I'm different than you.
Yeah.
Like, for me, happiness is having a big enough house where I could have my family over, my friends over. We can all hang out. I can host Christmases, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, so my goal is just to be, financially set enough to where I could do really anything.
Yeah.
And you know, not doing it alone. That's big for me too. So.
Well, I felt for the first time in my life, and this is very new for me, and, you know, I did a lot of therapy last year. I was having a really tough time and just with letting certain things go, and there's just traumas in my past, and just a lot of things were coming to a point last year, and therapy really, really, really helped. But I feel like this is like the first time in my life that I've actually like been present, like on a day-to-day.
I agree
like,
with that.
Where it's not like, okay, I got to do this by this time, and I'm like so in a different time and place usually in my head, where like I'm already at the end of the week when it's Monday and I'm like already behind because yes. I haven't done the things that need to be done in time for it to be done by Friday.
You guys have no idea how much I've heard this. Yeah. Yes.
And time really ruled me, and I've put some boundaries on time. It's not allowed to affect me and rule me that way anymore. And I've really been enjoying life. Like, I really love our house. I love our friends. I love our family. I love our cats. I love what we do for work. I love, I'm the healthiest I've ever been in my life. Not like trying to like, oh, I got a meal plan and like get all this stuff together. Like, it's like, no, I'm just eating well and I'm very grateful all the time. And
You're more present.
I'm so much more present.
Yeah, you are.
I'm so much more present and balanced.
Yeah.
I think that, and this was going to be a part of the episode, maybe just tune into the next episode, but I just think that when you're too focused on one thing needing to be perfect, it just, the rest of your life sucks.
Mm.
And like, I think I've always just been so tuned in on like perfectionism and like in career, making sure I'm doing everything right and possible to like achieve that goal. And so when it doesn't happen, it's like the rest of my life sucks. Like, yeah. It just like, I could have a great relationship, but I'm not enjoying it because I'm thinking so much about what's not happening yeah. that I've been focusing my time on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I used to kind of see like hanging out with people as, this is going to sound mean, but as an obligation, if I wasn't hitting my goals in that space, you know,
and now enjoy it.
No, I could never. And it's not like I didn't like them. It's just that I felt less than, like, I felt like I was not a whole person because I didn't achieve the thing I wanted to achieve.
That's how I felt in Europe.
And now I feel whole because it's, life isn't about that picture perfect thing. It's about like watering the plants. Like, it's about like watering your career, your relationship, your family, your health, everything, like, and actually enjoying the watering. I used to kind of water it because I had to water it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, back to the career. But now it's like, no, I really genuinely enjoy like each individual watering of things. Like, we just hung out with Richard. Mm-hmm. We hung out with Chad and V before then. We're hanging out with our other friends tonight at mm-hmm. dinner. And I genuinely can be present there and like happy to hang out with them and not worried about like, oh, now I'm going to be behind on vlogs. I'm going to be behind on editing. I'm going to be behind on... I just know. No, like, it's just there's each thing has its own value.
That's great.
And I'm just realizing that.
Yay. Took a while.
All right. Yeah. Same to you, pal.
Hey, thank you. Right back at you, dude.
Fuck anyways, face.
We'll fucko fucking ham. All right. We'll see you guys on the next one.
Yeah. If you want to check out, we have bonus episodes of Shit They Don't Tell You if you're really into us. They're called Shit They Don't Tell You After Dark, and they're on our Patreon, patreon.com/sticky, STIKKI. It's kind of more of like what we're going through at the present moment. So like a little bit at the end there. You might have heard like that's kind of the vibe of Shit They Don't Tell You After Dark, yes. Where we're talking about like things that we're just now kind of figuring out,
yes,
that they didn't tell us, and how we're processing it in real time. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff like Crypto Corner and all that stuff. And if you have a question you would like us to read on another episode of Shit They Don't Tell You, we do Ask Us Anythings, and you can email podcast@nikki.limo for that.
Booyah.
Booyah.
We'll see you guys next time.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
See you next time. You better be here.
That's right.
This is my dream. Bye-bye.